So, we have a weird turn of events that we have to report on. There's a couple of things that have happened that are major. We have a NFL top 10, which we're not going to go through very quickly like we use, like very slowly like we usually do, because we don't got enough time for that. Because this show is brought to you ad-free by Digital Market Battles, the only marketing agency that will fill your company's pipeline with high-value leads. They will meet your conversion goals no matter what. www.digitalmarketbattles.com. Get your discovery call done today. I am the mouth of the South, John Schiavone. That is my co-host, the Beast of the East, Jonathan Pariente. This is Downtown Sports. This is where sports come home. And home is a very good word for the New York Giants. We
Danny.
used to be talking about tankathon.
Yes,
That's
that's
what we
right.
used to thought. We were talking about the tankathon for both New York teams. All we heard was tankathon, tankathon. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, that Tommy DeVito could possibly, I mean, think about it. If DeVito keeps this up,
He might be the starting quarterback. Isn't that
beats an
crazy?
eagle, beats an eagle team.
Everybody's calling him Tommy Cutlets. No more Tommy Dude, it's Tommy Cutlets for his cutlets, man.
Well, look, I don't care. They all keep going to his house for cutlets in the hot tub in the backyard. Good. I don't care. They're winning.
You should be happy about
And
that. And you know what? The Giants are only one game out of a playoff spot. Isn't that incredible?
yeah, that was the other thing I was about to mention. Somehow, some way, and I don't get it. The Giants are a game back, and beating Green Bay the way they did
Yes.
is a major help
Yeah, well, Green Bay have been
on their
playing
way
well.
to a playoff spot.
And suddenly now, if you get tied with Green Bay, there's your tiebreaker. And the Giants now have beaten Green Bay, and there you go. There's going to be their advantage right there.
Well, the Giants have four more games to go. One of those games is against the Philadelphia Eagles. This week they got the New Orleans Saints.
That's winnable. It's winnable.
Is it?
I
The
think so. You're
Saints have one of
facing
the
Derek.
best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, but has Derek Carr really been any good? Do you trust Derek Carr? He.
I don't, but is it gonna be Derek Carr, or is it gonna be
What, Jameis Winston? If Carr's healthy, Carr's going to play. If
I
Carr's
hope
healthy, he's
so.
going to play.
I do not like Jameis Winston at all.
So then
At
there you
all.
go. Now, the only thing for the Giants, you have to shut down Alvin Kamara, and you got to shut down, more than likely, you got to shut down Taysom Hill and Chris Olave. That's not going to be an easy one. But
The
goodness for the
Giants are gonna have
Giants.
to be in a shootout. They're
Goodness
gonna
for the
have to
Giants.
learn
You're
to win
getting
a
Darren
shootout.
Waller back. Darren Waller's coming back to the lineup this week, so that'll help Giants fans out big time.
Really?
You're getting your big
How will
tight
that
end
help?
back.
The only concern I have for that is Waller is going to have to be slowly reintroduced into this offense. DeVito has not actually played with Darren Waller as of yet. So he has no idea what Darren Waller could actually do. Will
You
there
have
be
to
a
find
level
out.
of trust? We don't know. I mean, I think Darren Waller would be obviously a great and welcome and helpful addition, but maybe if this were like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'd have been more excited. Right now, the Giants are on the outside looking in,
But they're very much in
and
this. But they are very much in this.
also, do you realize that if they win out the rest of the year and finish 9-8, that they will only finish a half game behind what they did in the regular season last
Yeah,
year?
and considering what Brian Daboll had to start with, I mean that's quite a turnaround. If he somehow does this, I mean that's a big somehow. But the Giants have won 3 in a row. That's where they are right now. They were 2 and 8. Now they're 5 and 8. The Giants and Jets are now 7 and 8 on the tankathon. If we're keeping track of that, they're 7 and 8. So, but yes, right now any looks at the tankathon appear to be out of the question. Now, New England now is number 2, Arizona's 3, and. Well, the Chargers got embarrassed 63-21 last night, and they've moved up the board. I'm amazed Brandon Staley's not even fired yet. I'm amazed he hasn't even been fired as of last night.
I said it in the group chat of Downtown Sports. This guy's more lives than Donald Trump. Forget a cat. A cat would have been gone long ago. This guy has the same amount of lives as Donald Trump. Like, I have a question. As a kid, you ever heard of a game genie? Have you ever had the game genie?
No, I have not.
Okay. Have you heard of the device?
Maybe vaguely.
Okay. I'll explain what the game genie is. I'm going to age myself for the entire audience. A game genie was a cartridge that you plugged either into your regular Nintendo, your Sega Genesis, or whatever like that, right?
It's like a memory card almost.
No, it's not.
It's not, okay.
So you hook that into the system, and then you put the game that you want to play. And each game, and you got an instruction book as to what codes are what. Each game had their own code in Game Genie. Like, you had a bunch of letters that you would put the codes in, and you would get things or special, stuff. One of the things that you would get, and in most cases, this is what people would use, unlimited lives, right? Mm. Yeah.
Cool feature.
That's Staley. He's somehow figured out how to put the Game Genie into Chargers ownership and have unlimited lives.
Well, I thought Zach Wilson was another one that had unlimited lives, because here we are, you know, thinking he was going to back up. Rodgers got hurt, then suddenly Zach has to start. Then Zach goes on a stretch where he couldn't throw a football or throw a touchdown. He gets benched for 3 weeks. Then your backups do no good. And now you're bringing Zach Wilson back in. And you know, what an amazing thing that happens when we let Zach Wilson actually call his own game, right? You blew up C.J. Stroud like he was nothing. 30 points in the second half, and you beat Houston. Zach threw for 301 yards. Where was that Zach Wilson all year?
Let kid play. Let kid play plays that work for him. See what happens when you put him in an offense that's advantageous instead of an offense that is so one-dimensional that there's absolutely nothing Zach Wilson could do.
Right. Isn't that incredible? And Zach Wilson was making these throws not even in good – it was in rain. He was doing this in terrible weather, and he was making these throws. Almost reminded me of the Kansas City game a little bit.
He has got all of the physical gifts necessary to be a successful quarterback. Unfortunately for you, the Jets have completely screwed this all up, because from the day the kid was drafted, he was mishandled. He should have never been the immediate starter. Then he got pressed into the service after Aaron Rodgers comes and then gets hurt. So that I don't get either. And it's just, I don't know.
It just boggles my mind. It really boggles my mind when you think about it. And
he requested a trade, and to be quite honest, I don't blame him.
Oh, Zach requested a trade?
Yeah.
Well, Salah's not hinted anything that we're going to trade him yet, but
according to stuff that I have read, Salah and Wilson are in agreement that they should part ways.
Yes, that I've heard.
So the Jets are going to be looking to trade Zach Wilson away.
And then you're going to have to rely on a 40-year-old Rodgers and pray he doesn't get hurt again behind that O-line. And you're going to have to sign a really good backup quarterback to, you know, be ready to go should Rodgers go down with an injury. That's going to be that's how this whole game's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scariest thing about it.
Yep.
If we haven't seen anything in the league this year, look at how many starting quarterbacks have gone down this year. Look at how many starting quarterbacks got hurt.
Too many.
With all the rule adjustments, with all the, you know, you think your O-line's good enough. And now Justin Herbert was the latest casualty to go on the IR list. So that's at least, what, 7-8 quarterbacks of starters that have gone down this year? That's like 7 or 8 of them already. So now you have to throw in a kid, Easton Stick. You had to throw him in there last night to, well, save what little hope your Chargers have left this year. And you got embarrassed and humiliated by Vegas. There you go. Against a Raiders team that couldn't even score a touchdown last week. got shut out 3-0. 3-0.
Yep. And of course, speaking of that Charger and a regular game, there were two players that you didn't see at all.
No Keenan Allen. Game. And no Josh Jacobs. Keenan.
Yeah. Do you know who those two guys happen to be?
Yeah.
My best fantasy starters.
Well, I didn't have Jacobs for my team. You know, I squeaked into my fantasy.
I'm actually in the postseason. I'm screwed now.
You know, I squeaked into my other playoff thanks to Devon Achane last week by barely 0.6 points. I would not have made it in if he didn't make those two late catches.
Well, Godspeed to you.
But I had no Jacobs either. I had to sit him down. I had no Jacobs.
So, like, imagine being in a scenario where you've had two all year long and, you know, it was consistent enough.
And then
he falls off and now he's playing against the New York Jets. So now I'm watching Seattle's injury reports praying that Geno Smith is available.
I think he's going to play. I think you're going to be in good luck that he should play. Now, you know, it's not going to be a very easy matchup that the Seahawks have. It's not going to be it's not an easy one the Seahawks are going to have coming up. But if they can somehow, and I do say this loosely, if you're Seattle, beat Philly.
They're beatable.
Well, they're vulnerable now is what we certainly have seen. They're definitely vulnerable. Their defense is hurt. Their defense has been shot for the last 2-3 weeks.
They could be Philly, then what?
Well, if Geno does his job, yeah, you should be able to score maybe 28 points on Philly, maybe 30. Would that be enough? I don't know. You're facing Jalen Hurts, so that's kind of a tough call. But, you know, it's not like, Seattle's D's okay, but it's not perfect. So, I'm a little... I have my concerns with, you know, that this, but yeah, this is going to go either way. This is going to be a shootout game, no matter how you slice this.
Now, let's get into the NFL top 10.
Let's do it. Here we go. I want to thank Chris and Tony for putting this top 10 together. Let's go to the team that's at number 10.
Just real quick.
It's the Buffalo Bills at 10, 7-6, second in the AFC East.
Welcome back, Buffalo, and you deserve to be here because you've won a few games that, got you here. That win against Kansas City was huge.
We were writing them off for a while. We have been writing them off for weeks.
Oh, I still think the Bills are no good, but, you know, they managed to win a couple of games, get themselves back to a respectable record, and, yeah.
Let's see where Buffalo goes from here. So far. You got a tough game against Dallas, so this is going to be a big one if you're Buffalo. Can you beat them? We'll find out. Let's go to number...
I don't believe so. Now, let me tell you something. I don't believe so. Can everybody... Dallas better be they should be anywhere between number 3 and number 1 this week on the top 10. So what's next?
Number 9, we got the Denver Broncos are number 9, 7-6, second in the AFC West. How incredible.
Wow, what
after
a
they
far
lost
cry
70.
From 0-5.
Yeah, and how incredible. They had lost a 70-20 game to the Dolphins. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thought that was going to be it. The Broncos are dead. Sean Payton stinks and blah, 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 blah. You even lost to the Jets during that streak. I will give Sean Payton his credit where it's due. He's turned around Russell Wilson. Okay?
He turned him around. No, 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 no,
he did turn him around.
No, 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 no. Let me explain what he did.
Okay.
There's actual good coaching taking place. Nathaniel Hackett, I want you to look at every Jet player who started quarterback this year.
Yes.
Nathaniel Hackett has screwed them all.
Including Russ. Yep.
I mean, if you're Russ, what are you going to do? Constantly disobey the coach?
You know, some quarterbacks, you know, there are some players that were sometimes just not coachable. Ask James
Harden
that.
That's not Russ, though. I mean, that's never been Russ Wilson.
I'm not saying it has.
But back to the point, it's good. You're right. He's finally getting good coaching. He's finally getting good coaching out of Sean Payton. And after an 0-5 start, the Denver Broncos have posted a 7-1 record.
Yeah. Russell's thrown 23 touchdowns this year. 23 touchdown passes this year for Russell Wilson. Isn't that incredible?
He's back to being the quarterback we saw in Seattle.
Yep.
He's back.
Quietly, the Bronco defense has gotten better. Having Patrick Surtain there and having
The Broncos can make the playoffs. Has that sunk in yet?
I think it's beginning to, suddenly the Chiefs look very vulnerable. Who knows, maybe even Denver can't pass the Chiefs. They might be able to. They might even be able to overtake Kansas City. Don't forget,
I'd
they
be
have that victory.
shocked.
You have
I'd
that
be
victory over the Chiefs.
shocked, but we'll see.
Anything's possible. Let's keep,
Next.
let's go. Number eight on the top 10 is the Cleveland Browns, 8-5, second in the AFC North.
So far, I find no disagreement with this list.
No, a Joe Flacco. Who would have guessed Joe Flacco would turn the clock back?
It's not even turn the clock back. The Browns have so many freaking weapons that they needed somebody with a pulse and who knew how to throw a football to come and be a part of their team. And then here comes Joe Flacco after a week or less being on the practice squad, moved up to start.
And now he's going to stay on the team for the rest of the year, and they've also worked to sign him to a deal to keep him here. So this will be quite a nice feather in the cap for Joe Flacco to kind of wrap up a great career. If he can take the Browns into the playoffs, oh my God, that'll be great. That'll be just one of his best turnaround, like one of the best Cinderella comeback stories of the year, if you ask me. All right, let's keep it moving. Number seven, the Detroit Lions, 9-4, first in the NFC North. Lions have looked a little vulnerable the last, what, 2 of the last 3 weeks. You got blown out by the Bears. You barely beat them last time, but this go around the Bears played a firm shutdown game, and Justin Fields was just running and throwing the ball all over the Lions' defense. It just shows you something.
That seems to be a theme. Throwing the ball all over the Lions defense. That seems to be a gigantic theme going around the NFL right now.
It is, because the Lions don't have a great D. Now, you're getting Gardner Johnson back from an injury coming up, which
You
is
need
incredible.
him.
Need him big time is an understatement. And Jared Goff's not looked good lately. Jared Goff is really starting to revert back to the old Goff from his Rams days. I don't know what happened to him, but he's starting to look vulnerable again.
I'll tell you what happened. David Montgomery isn't on the field as much.
He's not
He's
been
going to be
running a
on.
touchdown, and he had a terrible week last week.
He did, but no, but here's the difference. David Montgomery over the past few weeks has been averaging about 33 to 34% of the snaps. That's not good enough.
Well, because Jahmyr Gibbs, you have Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, you got to, they're giving the kid more reps because, this is the rookie. This is the kid that's going to be your future back.
But you just signed David Montgomery for a whole boatload of money. There's no reason that he's not the number one guy. Here's the problem I've got. I think if David Montgomery were in there for more possessions, Jared Goff would not be, rushed as he's been rushed.
And he's been fumbling the ball lately, Goff, as well.
Yeah. So he can't get hit. He can't be touched. We have to make sure that he's safe enough to get the ball out.
And the Lions have a good O-line. The Lions' O-line's
The
pretty
best O
solid.
line in the league, other than Indianapolis,
And yet
maybe.
Goff is messing up. That shouldn't be happening, right? That should not be happening.
Jared Goff was a mess up from the moment he came to the Jet. From the moment he came, we all know that.
I wouldn't say mess up. I mean, he was great the first 10 games of the year, and then now he's hit a little bit of a rough patch over the last couple of weeks. Now,
I mean, maybe success goes to his head.
it could be. Now, give the Lions credit. You still have a little cushion in that North because Green Bay just lost, and the Vikings are now going to go to Nick Mullins. They're done with Dobbs. Is now going to be an emergency quarterback now this week. Can you believe that? After he was literally a starter 2, 3 weeks ago, now he's going to be a emergency third back. Should any of the other two get hurt, so you're gonna go with Jet with Hall with Jaren Hall and you're going with Nick Mullins as your starter. You believe that? That's crazy.
I know.
It's nuts.
It
Let's keep
is.
moving up the board. Let's go to number six.
What do we got?
The Kansas City Chiefs are number six on the top 10,
Why are
8-5.
they even? Why are they even here?
Why are they even? Because Kansas City is Kansas City. It's Patrick
They've
Mahomes.
lost
What?
so many games.
Okay, well, they're
They've
down
been
on the
one, and
bottom. They
then
moved down the list. They're not even at the top anymore.
they did, but they're still in the top 10. How?
Because, they still are a legit football team, and despite having the lack of scoring that they have, they still find ways to steal games in important moments, right? I mean, Okay, yeah, you lost you lost that tough game a week ago to you lost to Buffalo last week. Okay. Patrick Mahomes is going to go complaining to the refs about an offensive offside to
Yes,
Kadarius
yeah, and
Toney.
that's, yeah, exactly. And have you watched film on that? Have you actually taken a look at that?
Well, from everything I've heard, the refs got the call right. He lined up over the
No,
line of
but we
scrimmage.
heard. Have you looked at it?
I have not.
Okay, it's on YouTube. Kadarius Toney was lined up so much that, his foot was where most D linemen should be, so it drives the D linemen back before they even snap the football. So the Giants foolishly try to see what they could do about getting that penalty called, and they did. And it was called how many times on Kansas City?
Couple, I think. Well, this is a call that used to be a commonly made call in the past. That's the weird thing. This was normally you get a defensive offside. You almost never get an offensive offside. You could have just called that a false start.
Maybe. Maybe, but you can't have an entire game full of false starts, and Kadarius Toney just doesn't seem focused.
Doesn't
Something
seem
is up with
focused.
him. He is not focused when he plays football.
Well, he's probably complaining quietly, why am I not getting the football? Rashee Rice, Kelce, they're getting the football. Well, why am I not getting the football? And how many times does Valdez Scantling get the ball when he drops it? And you don't think that's not eating at Kadarius Toney every single day?
That's another very good question. He gets one play a game where he's down the field like a gazelle, and you don't throw it to him. You don't throw it to Robert Woods. You don't th why?
Well, Scantling, you have all these other pieces. Yeah, well, Mahomes has to kind of spread the wealth of his receivers because he doesn't have, other than Kelce and maybe Rice, you don't really have another weapon that, hey, I can
But
trust.
how
I'm
would
going
you
to.
know? Because he doesn't throw the ball to these people.
Maybe because Mahomes has no faith in him. Maybe he has no faith in Mahomes and his guys.
That's a problem.
Well, that's
That's
going to
a
cause a lot of problems.
big problem. If in year two of the big contract, we're seeing regression and we're seeing complaining to the media. Remember, complaining to the media is what got him benched the first time last year.
Well, Tony, yes, of course, of
Now,
course.
this year, I feel as if five or six, we're at six, right? Six is too high for Kansas City here. We
We're at
can't
a,
have them here.
well, this case area at six is a little high. But it's, would you rather them be at 10 or you rather them not even be on the top 10 at all?
I'd rather them not even be on the top 10. I'd like to know what they've done that is top 10 worthy over the past 4 to 5 weeks.
They really haven't. By the way, there have been 34 drop passes by Chiefs receivers this year, most in the NFL. That is scary enough. And they have the fewest combined receiving yards by any team in the NFL. And
And
yet
yet,
here
Pat
Kansas City
Mahomes
is
is
at
still having
8-5.
a good season, like usual.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, another team that was normally number one is dropped to five on the top 10, and you won't believe who this is. Number five is the Philadelphia Eagles.
I believe that too.
You
In
believe
the
it.
beginning, like when we saw the obviously Philly and Kansas City were the classes of each of their conferences, right? Ever since day one of that, I've been calling BS on both Kansas City and Philadelphia. And, well, they want to be traded, these players. Like, I don't know.
Well, at this point,
Kansas City is a dumpster fire.
yeah, well,
Who's number five?
yeah, number five are the Philadelphia Eagles.
We
All right,
said, so yeah.
they've dropped. I mean, that is significantly a drop for the Eagles.
It's
And you
the
know what?
same issue as Kansas City. However, I think Philly is better. I think Philly's offense is in a much better position
Yes.
to have a good game. New Orleans might be good, but
Their defense is a big problem, though. Their defense in Philly has. Philly's defense is dead last in the league at getting off the football field. And they're dead last in sack rates on third down. They had one of the best last year on third down.
That's
Now they're
all good
dead
for
last
me.
this year.
That's all good for me.
Well, In other words, if Philly's not scoring 30-something points a game with Jalen Hurts, you're in a lot of trouble. Look what happened against the Niners. Look at what happened against the 49ers last week. As soon as a few turnovers
happened, you got screwed, and thank God,
dead.
In a way, John, you should be thanking every deed alive that you ended up with Devonta Adams. And
I ended up with Smith. You mean with Devontae Smith? I traded Smith eventually. I had Smith, and then I traded.
Devonta Adams, isn't he on your team?
Not anymore. No, I had Devontae Smith on my team, but he's gone now. I traded him weeks ago.
You traded
him to
me. I have Devontae Smith. Who has Adams?
Oh, he's on the Raiders. Devontae Adams is with the Raiders.
I'm talking about our fantasy league. Had him.
I'm facing what's his face? Freeman. He's got Devontae Adams, and he went off for like 22 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't have the talent.
Oh my God. Next. Okay, let's keep it moving. Number four on the top 10. We got the Miami Dolphins, 9-4, first in the AFC East. And Miami, you just lost a terrible game Monday night to Tennessee. Like, you gave that game away. You didn't even just, that wasn't even a, you gave away that football game. Gave it away. You let Hopkins go off for two large catches, including a touchdown. You let Derrick Henry score two touchdowns on you late. And I don't know, it's amazing? Tyreek Hill goes out for most of the game. He went out for about half of the game. And did you see how different that Miami offense looks when Tyreek Hill's not there? And Tua now has to throw to Waddle? Or I have to run the ball with Achane and Mostert?
It looks terrible without him.
It's just incredible how bad they are without Tyreek. It just goes to show you how one-dimensional this offense is when Tyreek Hill's not there. I didn't realize it was going to be that glaring until the minute Tyreek Hill went out. And the only reason he came back was because his girlfriend kind of like gave him a little vote of little motivation to come back from his injury and finish the game.
Which one? Because you've got now four women claiming that Tyreek Hill is the father of their child, and apparently this all happened last year around Christmas time.
Well, whoever he's dating right now was pushing him to come back. That's all it was. That's what Tyreek Hill said and why he came back in the game. Otherwise, he would have just sat the game out. And you know what? Didn't matter. Even with Tyreek Hill back, things were too far gone for Miami. And, you know, Tua didn't have
They still made that a game.
That's a game you should have won if you're Miami. Now you're playing the Jets suddenly now. You don't think the Jets are not going to want to play with something to prove after Miami blew them out last meeting? Miami could be in a little trouble here. Miami has this history of choking in big moments.
I'd like to know the team that they've beaten that's good.
They've beaten literally nobody good. That's the whole point of the matter. You got killed by Buffalo. You lost to Kansas City. You've beaten garbage football teams for most of your nine victories. You have not earned it against a real tough opponent. I'd like to see them beat Dallas. I'd like to see them beat... Oh, and I'm going to throw it out there. I'd like to see them beat a Baltimore. I'm still waiting. Exactly.
Next in the top 10.
Let's keep it moving. Number three are the Dallas Cowboys. 10-3, first in the NFC East. I think Dallas should be a lot higher than three. I think they should be number one because the way they played lately. I'm telling you guys, I think Dallas now is really starting to show the world, at least at this point. They're no joke. You beat Philly at home recently. You just beat Philadelphia at home, which was huge. Dak Prescott, I think now has finally gotten to that precipice of where people expected him to be.
They finally let him throw the freaking football, John.
Is it Mike McCarthy that's letting him do it, or did it take a coaching change?
I don't know what it is, but ever since...
Well, I think part of it was ever since Kellen Moore left.
The trouncing they received.
Well, it woke them up is what happened when Dallas did lose their game. Yeah, when they did lose their last game, it woke Dallas up, absolutely. I'll tell you what, you give this Dallas defense a lot of credit too. They're fast, and Micah Parsons leading the front of that line makes this defense so dangerous. You can't even have a minute.
I said from day one, and I predicted that Dallas would win the NFC East, did I not?
Yeah, well, now that they're right up there, they're ahead of Philly now, so if they can... You know, if they can continue to hold Philly off for a couple more weeks, they're going to win the East. It's right there in their hand.
They have to. I mean, there's no reason for them not to.
The key now is, can they continue the scoring trend they've been on? Right now, Dallas is scoring 32.3 points per game. And they're 6-0, undefeated at home. And they have a plus 188 point differential, which is the most in the NFL. 28 touchdowns for Dak Prescott this year. And then you've had also CeeDee Lamb. You've had Pollard. Brandon Cooks has been incredible. And then DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons on the back end, along with a kicker, by the way, that hasn't even missed a field goal this year in Brandon Aubrey.
Oh, yeah. Thank God I have him on my fantasy
this,
team.
This group's been really incredible. Now,
by the way, can I just say one point?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Imagine if you are a fantasy football owner, you're going into your first week of the playoffs.
Yes.
And now instead of starting Josh Jacobs and Keenan Allen, you have to start Chuba Hubbard and Drake London.
It's not terrible. That's two pretty decent replacements. Drake London's played well the last few weeks, and Chuba Hubbard's taken over the number one running back position. So I don't know. Yes, I know. Is it the matchup you would have wanted? No, I get that. Of course, you. But that's the beauty of having depth. That's the beauty of having depth when you need it. You have pieces to replace someone that goes down. I wish I had that luxury. I don't.
Who does?
All right. But look, Carolina's going to have a good matchup. They have a pretty favorable matchup with Tampa Bay next week. I think they'll do something in that, but we'll see what happens. Let's keep moving.
Tampa's defense is not that good. They're a pass funnel. Their secondary is garbage. I wouldn't run the ball on Tampa, but, you know, they don't need to. So,
no,
next.
No. Number two on the top 10. All right, well, this makes sense. Number two, the Baltimore Ravens, 10-3, yes. First in the North. Yes. And, you know, the Ravens are just, it's incredible what this Ravens team has done throughout this year and their ability to win with their defense and just put the ball in the hands of Lamar Jackson and you'll be perfectly fine.
I mean, it only took them how many years to figure this out?
Well, Lamar Jackson's been here, what, 5 years now? You know, you have to.
And I love how it took them 5 years to figure this out with him.
What, to just let Lamar be Lamar and you don't care if he runs the ball too much?
Yep, yep.
No, listen, Lamar is a rare breed of quarterback. It's a rare breed to have the ability to throw accurately and to run the ball well. That doesn't grow on trees. You know that's a rare talent. Yeah. And you know what? Lamar Jackson's evolved. He got better. He's gotten better and better with each year. Now the key is, can he get the Ravens to that next step now? Can he get them deep in the playoffs? Can he get them to a Super Bowl with the way he plays?
Who knows? But the fact that they are where they are is a miracle.
It's a miracle. Well, the whole AFC North has been awful. Everybody's hurt. Kenny Pickett's hurt. You've had Ben Roethlisberger calling the Steelers out, saying their tradition is over. You know, the Browns are running in with Flacco, which is a miraculous turn of events in itself, that they're even 8-5 right now. And then, of course, the Bengals, you lost Joe Burrow, but you know what? Jake Browning's playing well. You got to give him credit. You know, this North is, I know the North, we only have a few weeks, but that AFC North is still not set in stone yet. It's far from over.
It's a stacked division.
It's far from over. I'm telling you that. It's far from over.
I mean, the Browns look really good.
They did. They've, you know.
They do.
Even despite having no Chubb, despite having, you know, Amari Cooper came back from injury, which was big. You know, Kareem Hunt's still there. You got pieces. That's the, when you have playmakers to make up for the lack of some star players hurt, it doesn't matter. As long as you can find a way to win, you find a way to win. That's the most important.
Wow.
Number one on the top 10, I think it's no surprise who number one is. It's the San Francisco 49ers. And why should we be shocked about it? This Niners team is so lethal with their ability to score, with their ability to just... Brock Purdy barely has to do anything. That's the unique luxury he has as the quarterback of this team. He doesn't have to be flashy. He doesn't have to throw for 500 yards. You got your playmakers like a McCaffrey, a Debo, a Kittle, and an Ayuk that do all the work.
They do.
It's incredible.
You can plug anyone into Shanahan's system, they'll eventually be successful.
But now, of course, the key thing I'm going to say, with all this talent they have, do you feel like it's a matter of time before they come back down to earth again, or are they just too far gone that I don't think anybody's going to stop them?
Next.
That's it. That's number one on the top 10.
Wait, no Lions?
The Lions were all the way at the bottom. The Lions were like the Lions were number 7.
Ugh.
We're up to the number 1. We're at number 1 with the
49ers. I know that, but the point I'm trying to make is Lions are 6. This is
Or
just
seven. Yeah, they are seven. Yeah, they dropped. The Lions.
how fast has the NFL changed over the past 2 to 3 weeks?
It changes very quickly. You know, things change on a dime each week. You could have one great week and then you're humbled the next week and you play awful the next week and then you bounce back the next week. Look. Remember, look what happened to the Raiders. Literally, I'm bringing the Raiders up as a perfect example of this. Last week, they couldn't even score a point. They lost 3-0 to Minnesota in a garbage Monday night football game. And then you bounce back. You score 42 points in the first half. And then you win 63-21.
Unbelievable.
It really
and
is.
I'll give you something else.
Yeah.
That Raiders team comes ready to play every single week. If Antonio Pierce is not the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders going forward,
Yeah.
I'd be upset.
I've heard rumblings about maybe John Gruden wanting to come back. I've heard rumors about
Oh
Gruden
God,
coming back.
no.
Whoa. You don't like, I thought John Gruden's a Super Bowl winning coach, right?
Why
Very good.
can't we just keep Antonio Pierce where he is? The team responds for him. The team plays for him. They're playing way above their talent
Well,
level.
look what Carolina did when they dumped Wilkes. Look what happened when he got fired. You got rid of Wilkes. Look what happened to Carolina. They went downhill this year with Frank Reich, and then they fired him because again, Bryce Young just couldn't step up to the plate.
But when has he been able to all year long?
Yeah, well, you have
Behind a
no.
bad O line.
Yeah,
His
well,
number one weapon is Adam Thielen.
Thielen, yeah.
His number one running back is Chuba Hubbard. You signed Miles Sanders in order to get a true number one running back in here,
And he's done
and
nothing. And he's done nothing.
he's done less than nothing.
Well, again, and you know, the sad part is, and I feel terrible for Bryce Young with this, you have a number one pick, and now in less than a year, you've had to change your coach. You're going to be changing the offensive schemes with him. And now you might have ruined this kid's development for the next couple of years.
I
That's where this is
agree.
heading.
Heading, that's where it is now.
My God.
Look at Zach Wilson. Look at that story.
Well,
Compare
I
that
better
story
hope
to
if I'm
this.
Zach Wilson, I better hope you're letting him just be Zach Wilson the rest of the year and don't be holding him back. It, sadly, though, the bridge might already be burned now because if the Jets are really serious about trading him, which we've been hearing the rumblings that they are,
But I have a question. Do you blame Zach Wilson for wanting a trade?
I can't. I can't. He's felt
How many rookie
disrespected.
quarterbacks have, how many young quarterbacks have we seen play worse than Zach Wilson and they're still on their teams and they're still starting?
Yeah, I mean, well, Daniel, is Daniel Jones really any good? Not, is he great? No.
You know what? I'd rather a cutlet over a dime any day. How about you?
Well, if DeVito continues to play the way he is, yes. And look, it took DeVito about three starts to finally kind of figure it out. Remember, against the Jets, he threw like what, -9 yards in that game? Then Dallas, he got pummeled. But give him credit. He bounced back. He did bounce back, and he's played very well since. Picking up a couple of statement victories. And yeah, New England, you beat him only because the kicker missed a field goal. I mean, that's really, let's be fair with that one.
You know,
You won that.
Kansas City has to win this game.
Kansas City
If
has
they
to win.
don't beat New England,
Yeah, Kansas City doesn't beat him.
then they're on the outside looking in,
Hey, man,
no?
I have Pacheco this week. They might be, again, another week down with no Pacheco.
I thought Pacheco had surgery.
Well, Pacheco was out last week. He had in like an ankle. I think he had like an ankle or knee injury or something like that. I have to, but he again, there's no, the rumblings are he might not play this week. I'll check him again, but it's right now, he was out of practice Thursday, so he's still, it's not looking great. It's not looking great if he's going to play this week, and that's bad. A shoulder injury, by the way, for Pacheco. That's what he has, a shoulder. So that means you have to put Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield and have him run the ball, which how often does he run the ball? So it's going to be basically Mahomes slinging the ball all over the place. So there go interceptions possibly going up again.
Oh man.
Kansas
And
City's in a
Kansas
little
City, it's a
trouble.
very bad situation.
Kansas City's in a lot of trouble right now. Big trouble.
With Isaiah Pacheco in the lineup, they were averaging less than 15 fantasy points a game. Pat Mahomes, he's been
He's been kind of like an, yeah, he's, well, Mahomes hasn't been extremely great this year to begin with, even with Pacheco in the lineup or without him. Because again, when you're relying on just Kelce to throw the football to, and you know, Rashee Rice is developing into a good receiver, but we don't, we're not really, the book's not out on him really yet. Then what does Patrick Mahomes really have? You have to, you have to share the ball with so many different receivers that you know that don't really make a playmaking difference in a game, but you have to throw the ball to them because Kelce's going to be covered by two, or then you're going to have Rice covered. And when you need to run the ball for even a couple yards, do you even trust Clyde Edwards-Helaire to get you 2 yards? It's tough. It's really tough. But you know, I give the Chiefs a lot of credit for the depth they have, and Andy Reid finds a way to make adjustments. I will give him that. He does. But Kansas City is in a very different spot this week. This is a trap game for one. Patriots have also just have already made it clear they're moving on from Belichick after this year. So the writing's on the wall for Bill Belichick. He's going to be out the door. And if, so you're going to be riding the wings with Bailey Zappe and hope he figures it out. But Kansas City is definitely in a trap game this week, and they have got to find a way to come out with a victory, because right now Denver's not far behind you. Suddenly, what, Kansas City is 8-5 and Denver is 7-6. So you know what's going to happen here? Denver wins and Kansas City loses. Look at what we got. We got a tie at the top of the AFC West. And I think maybe by a mere fraction of tiebreaker, Denver might go ahead of Kansas City. That could be big. But we will see. We will see, ladies and gentlemen, how the rest of this season goes here. We're in the final home stretch now. Week 15 is coming up. We're only a couple more weeks until the playoffs. There's still some spots to be locked up. San Francisco, by the way, already clinched a playoff spot, so they're in. San Francisco's in the playoffs, no matter what. Thanks to
Yep.
the Green Bay Packers' loss, they're in.
Well, good. I mean, we finally got one team in, but now, how do I put it? Right now, it's the San Francisco 49ers, and then there's everyone else.
Yes, that's really what it
And
is.
yeah.
That's really what it is, because nobody has the defense and offense that San Fran has and could be able to stay with them for a whole game. It's unless someone else can prove us wrong, unless maybe who knows. And you know, San Fran, you're playing Arizona this week, so that's going to be that should be a blowout if you're San Fran. You know, the Rams might be the only team that could really challenge them at this point. The Rams at least can challenge them with the depth they have, but I don't even know if that's enough. I'm not even sure if that's going to be enough. So other than Dallas, I don't see really any other, maybe Philly, that's it. I see no other team in the NFC that's even going to be a warm-up for San Fran. Not even close. That's how this looks right now. And honestly, until any other team proves us wrong otherwise, good luck. Because right now this is San Fran's NFC to win or lose. That's it.
Yep.
All right.
So let's recap quick.
Yes.
Let's recap quick to get this whole baby wrapped up in a nice little bow present, all of it, right? We start off the show by talking about Tommy DeVito, who very quietly gets sacked multiple times per game, and yet he doesn't turn the ball over. He had another perfect performance at 17-21, and Joe Shane still thinks that Daniel Jones should be the starter
Well,
next
I
year.
think he's way off his rocker with that. And he
Well,
got named NFC
now,
Player of
do
the
you know
Week
who
along with
else
Zach.
thinks that they're crazy? The agent of the New York Giants,
Oh yeah, the guy that was dressed in
the
that little
agent of
mafia
Tommy
suit.
DeVito.
Wait, was that the dude dressed in like the mafia suit? He looked like an old school gangster.
Yeah, he said he believes that, and his client also believes that he could win a quarterback competition with Daniel Jones. And you know what? For what I've seen,
He's already proven it to you.
he's doing it.
Well,
And by the by, even if he doesn't, I want everybody else to understand and listen. The backup quarterback has this year should have taught everyone that a two good quarterback room, a quarterback room with two good quarterbacks that could both start, is essential in the NFL now.
you need to. You need to now, because look at what's happened to a few teams that didn't have a good backup quarterback. And look at what's happened to them, and look how far they've fallen off.
And that's that. Then we started talking also the Jets and Zach Wilson, and threw for almost 300 yards. Garrett Wilson had a big day. Breece Hall was had a decent day. I really hope Jet fans understood what they were losing when they saw Boyle out there instead of Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson actually gives a football team a chance to win. He's not great. Is he super helpful? No. But is he so turnover prone or bad that you really can't use him?
It really depends. Because, I mean, like, Micah Parsons even defended Zach this week.
Yes.
Saying the media has been treating him so unfairly. These, you know, the Jets fans are very, what's the word, fickle. They always, 1 week, oh yeah, we love Zach. He threw 301 yards. He's great. And then next week, he throws up a dud the next week, and then the fans want him out of town, like literally the next week. We have high expectations in New York for winning quarterbacks, but this gets to a point of ridiculous. I mean, the kid's being thrown out there because literally the Jets have no O-line to protect him, and he literally got thrown there only because Rodgers got hurt. And you're going to blame Zach Wilson for the reason why the Jets have had a bad season so far? Salah took him out for 3 weeks and put in a backup. Did that do any better? Did Tim Boyle look any better? No. Did Trevor Siemian look any better? No. And then fans were clamoring, oh, we want Zach back. Every week it's the same thing.
Could have enjoyed him while you had him. And now that Zach Wilson is demanding a trade and was reluctant to take the starting role back, oh, the ire of Jet fans. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I have a question. But if anybody were treated like Zach Wilson was treated by the New York Jets, you'd want another job too.
Of course. Of course. I'm not going to feel welcome there. Why should I stay there? That's it. Period.
Now, let's continue the recap. We went through the NFL top 10, yes, which had some teams that you wouldn't believe on that list. Teams that were dominating the top of the NFL. We're talking Lions, Chiefs, and
Eagles,
Philadelphia.
And now they've fallen down. And right now,
and
I
out
think
of those three teams, the one I'm most concerned about is the Lions.
Well, their problems are now becoming glaring for each of them. The Lions with their defense has now become a glaring problem. Just look what happened with the Bears, and just look at how recently they've played, including on Thanksgiving the last couple of weeks. And you know what? Quietly, I think the demanding schedule the Eagles have had over the last 4 or 5 weeks is starting to run that team into the ground.
I agree.
They're now really starting to look tired, and they look like they've had to go through they're going through a gauntlet.
Yep. That is the truth. That is definitely the truth. And how do you win if your two star fantasy players are just out?
Well, the good teams have to find a way to win without their best player. And sometimes if you don't have the proper depth, you're not going to win. That's just how it goes. If you have enough depth, if you have enough talent around you, it's fine. You can kind of squeak out one with that. But if you don't have the proper, if this playmaker is your quarterback, or if this is your best running back, or your best receiver, you see what a difference it makes. Even losing Tyreek Hill for a mere half, Miami did not look like the same football team. And that should shock people. So you wonder how much faith Tua has in any of his other receivers not named Tyreek Hill. Tells you a lot. It tells you got to prepare.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
On that.
Let's just say this. Mm-hmm. If you're an NFL fan, unless you're a fan of the Panthers, the Bears, and the Cardinals,
mm-hmm,
you still have a shot
at getting the best player in the draft. Yes, you do.
That and the postseason. There's a few teams out there that they went out, they'll make it.
Yeah.
So the Giants are in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
And just to remind everyone,
mm-hmm,
for everybody thought how lost of a season this was, I want everybody to look back at last year and realize the Giants were 9 wins, 7 losses, and a tie.
And they did this with literally no talent at all.
And if the Giants went out, they will go 9-8.
Yeah.
But people will still say this is a lost season, which I don't understand. But
you found something as the season went on. You found something when DeVito took over the reins. And quietly, he started to build a good rapport with the rest of his receivers. Barkley now is, I feel like now maybe Barkley doesn't have to hold that burden that he had for the first few weeks before Jones went down. Now Barkley
If I were Tommy Cutlets, I want a new contract. I want guaranteed money. I want to be the starter because I've seen him throw the ball all over the field. I've seen him in positive game scripts where he's handing off the football a lot. I've seen him in negative game scripts where he's been behind and he's hitting almost every throw. I mean, I don't know what else you could ask for out of a quarterback.
Well, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll are going to have some discussions and have some decisions to make come the offseason. What do we do with Daniel Jones now that we've signed him to the contract we did? Maybe was that a mistake?
If it was, that's not my fault. Give us the money.
That's it. Well, let's see if DeVito can stand on his feet and say, I want to be paid.
That's how I feel about it.
All right. Well, the Giants at least have gotten themselves into a better situation than they were about, 3 weeks ago. But let's see what happens. Let's see how the rest of the season plays out here. Let's see what happens in the final 4 more weeks to go. Anything could happen. Anything can happen here. All right. On that note, that's going to wrap up this edition of Downtown Sports. I want to thank Chris. I want to thank Tony for the top 10. And we will continue up in down the road here. We're going to continue also with as we get more into the baseball offseason. There have been a lot of moves made in the baseball world that we need to discuss too at some point down the future. Shohei Ohtani signing $700 million, and then he's transferring $680 million. Of that $700 million. And look what the Dodgers made an immediate impact. They just got Tyler Glasnow from the Rays, maybe as part of that little incentive. And also to give themselves more money to spend to get other players. So that was Ohtani's call. That was not the Dodgers. Ohtani made that decision himself to transfer $680 million. So he's going to get paid the rest of that money kind of on the back end of his 10-year contract, as a way of avoiding a tax, which California does have a high luxury tax in that state. Their state tax is up there. And if he were to leave, more importantly, when the there was another little stipulation, but we'll talk about it on a later note. But it involves Ohtani's deal if any of the GM or owner were to leave the team. Yes, there's an opt-out clause in his contract for Shohei Ohtani, but that would only happen if Andrew Friedman or Mark Walter, the owner or chairman, leave their positions. Only if they leave their titles, then Ohtani can opt out of his deal for 10 years. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is, and you know what? You're going to stop seeing these 10-year-long contracts after this year. Watch.
Oh, I have a feeling you're going to see much more than that. You're going to start seeing teams do the same business the Dodgers are doing. And you're going to start seeing more money get saved toward getting other players and building super teams if they have the money to spend. It's basically now slapping small market teams in the face. That's what you're doing with this. But for right now, you can listen to Downtown Sports on 23 different platforms. We're on Anchor, we're on Spotify for Podcasters, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Bullhorn, Podbay. Listen to its podcast at Verbal, Castro.fm, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Podyssey, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, and TuneIn. Episodes, rants, digital market battle specials every week. We are Downtown Sports, and we are where sports come home. Jonathan Pariente, the Beast of the East, along with my co-host, the Mouth of the South, John Schiavone, saying goodbye.
You know something? Goodbye. Yeah, goodbye. Goodbye to my fantasy season. Goodbye to any hopes I had of winning money. Goodbye to the Giants or the Jets getting a quarterback that they really need in the tankathon. Goodbye to hope. Goodbye to anything good.
Let things play out. You don't know that. Let things play out with the season.
And by the way, let's just go through very quickly. We don't even have to examine them. The Yankees land Soto. They are the favorites to get Yamamoto. They made a damn good trade to get people in their infield. Cashman is finally listening to what people have been telling him to do for years.
I still think the Mets get Yamamoto because you have Kodai Senga. I still think Yamamoto is going to be a Met at some point. I will be shocked if he doesn't
play the Mets. I hope to God, because...
Mets got a couple of pieces there. You got a little bullpen help. You got Jorge Lopez. That's a nice arm to add. You got Joey Wendell, good infielder. Yeah, the only thing that sucks is you've lost Mauricio with a torn ACL. That's going to be one that's going to hurt a little bit. I'm not going to lie, that's going to hurt quite a bit. But
that's right. So I have no hope. I don't know who has hope. The New York Giants, they have some. Okay. The slightest little bit.
See what happens.
For Chris, for Tony, I want to thank them for their top 10s. Beast already told you where you could hear us. So for all of them, it's the Mouth of the South. I'm out. We're out. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.